We will now have our morning scripture taken from Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks
be to God. We will now have our hymn of preparation from our men's ensemble, followed by our morning sermon by Pastor Penn.
Thank you. powerful. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Please make note of all of the announcements. As you know, next week is the MLK Nation International Weekend. There's a lot of celebrations going on in the city and nearby cities. Those of you who have purchased tickets for the breakfast next Monday morning, please be on time. It starts promptly at 8 a.m. at Hopewell University at the Crane Center. That's for the breakfast. Then at 6 p.m., I have been asked to emphasize by our president, Dr. Frank Thomas, the annual MLK worship and oratorical contest, which will be at Williams Memorial CME Church. That will be 6 p.m. on Monday evening. Also, I think it's a parade that will be going on to Monday, probably around the noonday hour. Also, if you're interested in singing in the Martin Luther King Community Choir at Wells Memorial at 6 p.m., the rehearsal will start this Tuesday at 7 p.m. at the church. For further information, if you contact me, I will give you the further information for that service. Dr. Walter Childs is a patient in the Wake Forest Baptist High Point Hospital. He was admitted on yesterday evening, so we ask that you be in prayer for Dr. Childs during this time. Let us pray. Good morning, Lord. We greet you on this day. We come to say hallelujah. We come to say thank you, Jesus, for all that you have done for us. Since the last time that we met here in your presence, we are blessed to be able to rise this morning and to open up our eyes and to be able to see another Sabbath day. We are blessed to be able to walk with you during the beginning of this. Today, waiting to hear from you. I ask that you come now and remove me so that the Holy Ghost can come to the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Be acceptable now in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. That all of God's people say, amen. My sisters and brothers, I ask that you pray with me this morning on the sermon topic, Understanding God's Will for Our Lives. Amen. Understanding God's Will for Our Lives. I'm going to ask that you pray for me and with me, because what I witness and what the world witnessed this past Monday night, what has happened from Monday night till today, my heart is on fire.
Yes, Lord.
On today. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to talk about what happened and how the power of prayer, young people, can heal in a mighty, mysterious way. The Bible says to trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insights. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path. The statement this morning, taken from Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, around verses 5 and 6, represents one of the most powerful in expressing God's will for our lives. The problem is, how do we actually go about exercising his will? In other words, how do we interpret God's will for our lives? in the actual practice, living from day to day.
All right.
Suppose for a moment that the Lord Jesus Christ were to grant you the answer to one question, and question that you wanted to ask, what would that question be? What would that question be? My guess is that it would probably relate in some way to knowing God's will for your life. After all, to a committed Christian, this is really the only thing that counts. Our peace and satisfaction depends on knowing that God is guiding us.
Yes.
And the absence of the certainty leaves us fearful and unhappy. The sermon topic that I have chosen to speak to you this morning is understanding God's will for our lives. There are two aspects, Memorial, God's will that I would like for you to consider with me. The first is the aspect of his will and his plan, which has already been revealed in his word, which applies to every Christian today. The second aspect involves those decisions in which God has given no specific instructions. What about God's will for our lives in areas in which has given no specific instructions? There are several places of scriptures that will guide us in our thinking. In the book of Psalms, chapter 8, verse 8, God promised, "I will instruct you and teach you the way that you should go, and I will counsel and guide you with my eyes upon you." Also, the Lord spoke to the prophet Isaiah and said, "I am the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go." The scripture just quoted shows the inspired of the fact no verse in the Bible will give you the kind of detail what occupation you should pursue in life, or what your community or church relate activities around which you should involve yourselves. They will tell you that God has promised us specific guidance in these areas. I'm going to give you three prerequisites. The first one is to be a child of God, which is very important. The scripture tells us that one day, some people asked Jesus directly, "Jesus, what must we do to be doing the works of God?" Or in other words, they were asking, what should we do to satisfy God? And the answer was found in John chapter 6, verse 29. And Jesus answered them specifically, clearly, "This is the work of the will of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Do you believe in Jesus Christ this morning? Do you trust him? Do you believe in the power of prayer? We must first come to Jesus in a commitment of faith to him as Savior of the Lord. Then we are God's children and can be guided by him and the Father. The second prerequisite is to obey, at least in the desires of our hearts, the will of God in these areas where we know what it is. What is the point of God guiding us in areas in which he has not been specific, when we are unconcerned about the areas in which he has already given us specific directions? The problem for most of us in this brand new year is that the part of the Bible that we do not understand and that God has spelled out for us.
All right.
For example, in Luke chapter 10, verses 26 to 28, it gives insights for understanding God's will for our lives. One day a man said to Jesus, "Teacher, What does a man need to do to live forever in heaven? Jesus replied, what does Moses' law say about it? It says, he replied, that you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. You must love your neighbor just as much as you love yourself.
Amen.
Right? Jesus told him, do this, and you shall live. In other words, this is the will of God. Perhaps that this is the problem for most of us now. We need to obey in areas in which God has already spoken. The third prerequisite, I think the most crucial, is to be willing to accept the will of God in those unspecific areas, living before knowing what it is. In other words, we must accept God's will in advance. For most of us, I suspect, this is where the real problem lies today. If we really, honestly, if we have to admit that our attitude is, Lord, show me what the will is, so that I can decide whether I want to do that will. Show me what the will is. Just lift the curtain for a minute and let me see so I can decide whether or not I want to do the will of the Father. If we stop to analyze this attitude, we will probably be shocked for what we are doing in insulting God. We are saying, I think I know better than you, God, what is best for me. God always wants the best for each and every one of us.
Yes, yes.
That is the scripture that tells us that God guides us in prayer as we ask him to show us his will. As we pray, in earnest,
yes,
God will reveal to us a sense of what is right or what is wrong about the course of action in which we need to make a decision in life.
Yes.
Let me talk about prayer, my sisters and brothers. And my young sisters and brothers, let me share with you about prayer on this day.
Amen.
Let's go back to Monday night when a young man hit a Cincinnati Bengal football player.
Right.
He got up and he fell back. And when he fell back, his heart stopped beating. Immediately, people on both sidelines went to assist him. Tears came streaming down from the faces of both football teams, of Cincinnati and the Buffalo Bills. Quietness came among thousands and thousands of people. And people started praying for this young man. They worked on him, put him in the EMS truck, brought him back out, because his heart stopped again. But somebody was praying for him.
Yes, sir.
And they were working on him.
Uh-huh.
They got him to the hospital. He wasn't responding. He was in ICU.
Yes.
But Jesus set the world on fire.
Yes, sir.
He got the world's attention during the beginning of 2023. They tell me that people all over the world started praying for this young man. The next day, Lord have mercy, the next day, the Holy Ghost. I'm going to tell y'all what happened. The Holy Ghost stopped by when you see health center and said, where did you lay him? He went into the room and he touched him, and today he's talking. Don't tell me what prayer won't do. Don't tell me about the will of my life. God uses all ordinary people to unite.
Hallelujah.
The world. I've never seen so many people pray. I've never seen, and I'm going to be real and I'm going to say it, I've never seen so many white people praying for a young black man. But I'm telling you, when Jesus comes in the midst,
yeah,
he can turn it around. And sometimes we don't understand. People don't understand.
Uh-huh.
I understand. How can a man stop breathing twice in ICU? Tubes in his body. They removed the tubes. And now he's talking. And on FaceTime, young people. People are scratching. How can that happen? You know how it can happen? Because there's power in prayer. How can it happen with Jesus? Is in the midst? Something's going to happen. There's power in prayer.
Yes, it is.
That's why the scripture says, weeping may endure during the night, but joy comes in the morning. Understanding God's will for our lives. So where do we go from here? God got everybody's attention. Last Monday night, we didn't even know the young man.
That's right.
Just like when Jesus came into the world, the psalmist wrote, we didn't even know who he was.
Uh-huh.
Our eyes were blind. We could not
see. Yes, sir.
But what happened on Monday?
Thank you, God.
Reminded me, Memorial. That earth has no sorrow.
Mm-hmm.
That heaven cannot mourn.
Hallelujah.
It's opened up the eyes of the NFL. It's opened up the eyes of young people. It's opened up the eyes of people who don't even go to church. It's opened up the eyes of those who follow Jesus, make disciples, and transform the world. It's opened up the eyes to show us that God is the greatest power, and there's power in prayer.
Yes,
whatever the test may be, Lord, help us say, God will take care of it. He's already written out the scripture. He showed me another thing right here.
Amen.
His brother sitting over here was in an accident. Called me, checking on me. And I asked him some questions, and he told me how God has given him another car. I keep telling people there's a power in prayer. Don't let the world bring you down, because God has people on the sidelines waiting to touch and heal us. Don't let the world bring you down. And every time I think of it, my soul cries out,
hallelujah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah.
So the question is, what else does God and His Son has to do to show the world who's in charge? Like the psalmist said, the Lord has spoken. Let the church say.
Amen.
Amen. The Lord has spoken. Let the NFL say. Amen. The Lord has spoken. Let an elected official say, the Lord has spoken. It moves me. I walk into this church and see a young man who I have known, he doesn't know it, since he was a little baby boy. His father said, brothers, this is my son. That's my son. And now to see him develop, coming in church, praying and beating on the drums of the Holy Spirit, my soul.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Jesus is moving.
Yes.
In a mighty.
Hallelujah.
So my sisters and brothers,
amen.
Whatever you might be going through in this brand new year of 2023. The Lord has shown us.
Yes, sir.
Who's in charge?
Yes, sir. Yes.
Because according to man,
this
brother is supposed to be dead. And there's some scriptures in the Bible that relates when they realized Jesus was calling, they called on Jesus, and Jesus said, well, where is he? I'm talking about Lazarus now.
Come on now.
And he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus was dead.
Yes, sir.
And he called him, and when he heard the voice of Jesus, he got up.
Yes. Yes.
Jesus said, I'm rapid. I'm here.
Yes, sir.
There's another scripture, teacher, that says that a lady had been sick with an issue of blood for years.
Yeah.
But she heard that Jesus was going to be in town, and she said, if he could just touch,
come on.
He doesn't have to touch me, but if he can just touch just a piece of my garment, then everything is going to be left. And all of a sudden, Jesus said, something happened.
Yes.
He touched me.
He touched you.
And now I'm no longer the same. He touched me.
Yes, sir.
And oh, the joy that floods my soul. He touched me before y'all. Somebody said, I went to the garden alone while the dew was still on the roses.
Yes.
And the voice that I hear.
Thank you.
The voice. No other has ever owned. He walks with me.
Uh-huh.
He talks with me. Uh-huh. And the joy, Lord have mercy. The joy.
Thank you, God.
Somebody said, his eye is on the spell.
Yes, sir.
And I know he's watching me. I sing because I'm happy.
Hallelujah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
So as the media was talking about the improvement of Brother Aaron, my soul cried out. I was looking at the game last night and saw two teams coming in the middle of the field to pray. Tears came streaming down, tears of joy. This is what Martin Luther King talked about, black and white together, walking hand in hand. We shall overcome. The time has come that Jesus has finally brought people together. Not looking at color, not looking at school, but bringing them together. So Memorial, I'm just asking a favor this year. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. Trust. Trust him and see what he will do for you. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your path.
Yes.
Lord have mercy. Christ have mercy.
Yes,
Lord have mercy. Let the church say, amen.
Amen.
Thank you. an opportunity to call on the names of those who you want to pray for. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Yes.
All of our sins and griefs to bear.
Yes.
Oh, what a privilege. Well, this is the second Sunday of this brand new year to go to God and pray. Lord, we come to greet you and to say good morning to you. As you have allowed us to come to be in your presence. Sometimes in life we are faced with things that we don't understand. And we go to you for guidance. For help, we go to you when our hearts have been broken into pieces. Asking for your healing power, and then you reveal the heart. Lord, we ask that you be with the family of Lavender Butler in the passing of his step-grandson, who was found near Wendover Avenue during this past week. Be with his mother, his family, and friends. They prepare to say farewell for the last time. Sometimes we see things in life and ask why. There was one who said, why not? Because we know in spite of what has happened to that family that you will sustain them. You will be with them. I ask that you be with Sister Emmeline Diggs. Emmeline Diggs.
Yes.
The former First Lady of Turner's Chapel, yes. African Methodist Episcopal Church. As on yesterday morning at the 11th hour, she said farewell to Reverend Diggs.
Yes.
One who labored in the vineyard, one who rebuilt the church.
Yes.
That sits in the middle of Penny Road in this city. Be with her, strengthen her. Let her know that all power is in thy hands.
Yes, sir.
Then I ask that you be with this church, continue to walk with this church, lead and guide, touch them in order that they can feel the Holy Spirit. We want to thank you for the return of Brother Fred Jones, what you have done for him when he was involved in an accident.
Hallelujah.
Could have been worse.
Thank you,
God. But you sustained him, provided him with strength, and then God, you thank you. Charles was rushed to the hospital, but still there, but we know that your healing power is going to discharge him soon.
Yes,
and Josephine, who's with her mother in Hickory, be with them.
Yes, Lord.
In a mighty way. Lord, as our young people return back to school, as they return back to school, be with them, be safe. There was an incident not too far from this church, not too far from where I live, at Ragsdale High School this past week. Beginning of the year. Lord, please put a stop to all of that.
Yes.
It's not cute, it's not safe, but we ask it for peace, safety during this year.
Yes.
And Lord, I want to join millions of people and just say thank you. Thank you for your visitation at the UC Health Center in Cincinnati. Thank you for healing this brother. Thank you for allowing him to talk to his friends. Thank you for FaceTime.
Thank you.
It had not been for you on his side, we would have been witnessing a funeral service on the media. But all of a sudden, you made a visit and you touched. You healed his heart.
Yes.
And said, come follow me.
Yes.
You knocked on the door and say, it is I. Like you knocked on our door many, many days and nights. Take the names that are on our sick list and speak to them, touch them and heal them. Give them strength through this breath. On this upcoming weekend, on next Monday, we're going to remember one of your servants, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., my mentor.
Yeah.
shall overcome.
Yes.
Someday.
Yes.
Someday.
Walk together, children. Don't
yes,
you
sir.
Get weary, because there's a great grand meeting in the promised land. Before I'll be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave and go home
yes.
to my Lord and be free.
Yes. Yes.
All these prayers and petitions, we lift them up to you this day and forevermore. We say thank you and hallelujah. For all that you have done and what you're going to do for us this week, I'm claiming the victory right now.
Glory.
Let the church say it, all children say it. Amen.
Amen.
It's time for the offertory prayer, seated in unison from your bulletins. Let us read in unison, Father, as we begin the new year. 2023. Thank you for loving us beyond our mistakes. Let's start again. In unison, Father, as we begin the new year of 2023, thank you for loving us beyond our mistakes. Thank you for teaching us how to be a vessel that pours out your love to others. Father, you are faithful, and I love you, and I surrender all to you this year. I ask that you use and receive our gifts for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. The offertory response. Meeting. It's very important that you hear as we discuss ideas that I have for 2023. Let us prepare our dismissal by reciting in unison, for I will do the benediction. May the strength of God sustain us. May the power of God preserve us. May the hands of God protect us. May the way of God direct us. May the love of God go with us this day and forevermore. Let all say amen.